On this August the 9th, 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, this is PJ, your internet host, for the next hour. It's terrible out there, man, when you really survey what's going on in the world today. I have a list of topics that I'd like to share with you about Julian Eastman music in the background. Are these perilous times that we're living in? You know, I got to ask the question. Could it be said that all the old biblical revelations that I gave about the coming of the end of the world could possibly be coming to pass? Could it be true? This is what I'm doing. I just want to hypothetically throw this question in the mix in the year 2021. Because, you know, when you even share with anyone that you watch the Charlton Heston movie, The Ten Commandments, they think that you're crazy, jackass crazy, or retarded, or something like that. No, I'm not. I don't think that anybody that watches those old biblical frame of reference movies are crazy. I don't think they're crazy. A lot of them had some very nice moral guidelines here. I think that's fallen off in our country tremendously. The way we treat each other up on top of what is happening in the world today. Climate change. Going to talk about that a little bit. Heat waves and floods. Man, you know, when you look at those three things, the effects of climate change on everything. I mean, it's not just one country or two countries. Every other day it's happening all over the world. And then when you look at the Afghan failure, I feel so sorry for the people that collaborated with the Americans and they're over there and the Taliban men's going block by block, taking city by city. Watch Al Jazeera news. You'll get a better grasp on what's happening. And needless to say, the shot. I've had mine. They tell me I have less of a chance of COVID killing me. Well, as a matter of fact, I'm planning more log burning in my backyard and conversations with men around the log burning in the patio under the open sky, fresh air blowing constantly. And men having intelligent, important discussions about life as it is. John Coleman is not ready to lie down and die. I'm not. You know, and that's interesting that I put it like that because often I think about the audacity of me being me. I am yet highly opinionated, very conservative. I think that conservatism is it's just flushed in my blood. You may say, how do you get on as an LGBT guy in a world of liberalism there and you are almost an ultra-conservative. Very simple. Because of my proclivity to love on a level that is just supernatural. For men, it doesn't change the structure of my heart and who I am. Think about that with me. You know, how do we choose to be who we are? Who are the people around us that influence us to make a choice to be this or to be that or to think this way about life as opposed to thinking the other way about life? How do you come to that? What helps you come to it? How have you contributed towards damaging the client, the climate, that is? Yeah, you're the client that's damaging the client. Climate. And climate change is real. I know Trump and his cohorts didn't believe that it was real. A lot of people from the southern parts of the country don't believe that it's real. I want to follow the science with the evidence, but when I get down to the shot, we'll get into that. I don't want to get into that right now. Well, I don't recycle, but I put all the trash in the correct bins. I try not to disturb the environment with garbage and trash. I don't spew waste, but I know that as an American, I am causing somewhat the effect of climate change because of the amount of material that I go through as an American. Climate change is very serious around the world. The minds that be in terms of running this society, running these societies, I should say, on the globe, all unanimously agree that climate change is affecting this. I mean, if men have discovered and they're up in outer space working these satellites, moving these satellites, changing the weather, making these weather concurrents happen, if men are doing that, that is the most wicked thing that is happening today. Because you can't get any more wicked than making climate so destructive that people's homes are being washed away. I mean, in Europe, I haven't seen devastation like that since World War II. Basically, those communities were, except for the occasional fire now and then. But if you ever went to the internet and looked at the pictures of Russians driving their cars down their blacktop streets, Russia looks just like the U.S. They got a series of videos out on YouTube showing how poorly they drive. They're running into each other. Don't they even know the laws? And I know that people in America go through lights and stop signs and take dope and drink when they're driving, but my goodness. Just you can be riding on a highway in Russia and all of a sudden the car in front of you just, and the other people talking in Yugoslav or whatever they're talking in, they're trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Man, the world suffering. Man, how about that? Man, the floods, huh? People walking water up to their knees in the kitchen. One woman was trying to scrape the garbage off the top of the water, and the garbage looked like it was the color of human waste. And I said, what is she trying to peel off the little pieces of paper and dirt and rocks that are floating when the house has to be destroyed. It's gone when water lights. The people are suffering all over the world. And the fires, oh my God, the biggest one is in my home state here in California. What are you supposed to think about that? You know, we older senior citizens, my God, I thought I've lived through it. I'm telling you, these things look to be rather apocalyptic. I'll tell you, I've recovered from thinking like that because I believe, as in the movie Apocalypto, what a great film by Mel Gibson. When the sage was telling the tribal members about the journeys of Earth and what happens. I especially liked it when the witch doctor, as they called him in the movie, said that when man came on the Earth, he started using it up. He wanted more and more. He abused it. And the sage told it right. He's going to keep destroying it until the whole infrastructure is gone. No respect to it. And the next morning, the whole village found themselves in chains, enslaved by the more modernized citizens that lived in that community. Oh, human suffering. When I was in grade school, they used to teach us about World War II. Man, it was different. I haven't sat in the classroom for years when my daughters, which are now on their way to senior citizenhood. I sat in their classroom a couple of times, but not in the history class, so I don't know exactly how my daughter's education went, but when I was in school, World War II was the big talk. The Marshall Plan was the big talk. Okay? President Eisenhower, when he was elected, is when I first started to think about politics. He was a Republican. I had to ask, what was that? I grew up in America. Oh, I took world history and all that stuff, but you know, when you're a kid, oh man, the cops got the city. You know what? I used to be a kid walking to school. Cop would go by and I'd wave, "Hello, Mr. Policeman, how are you today? One day when I grow up, I want to be a cop." And those white cops would just look at me and give a little smirk. See, I was just a kid. And taught by my parents, John Jr., if you ever get in trouble and need a way out of that trouble, that you can always go to this man here, this policeman, and you can ask him for direction, and he will give you direction and help you find your way. This is one of the people in the community that we can trust. That's what my daddy actually taught me, taught us kids that. My frame of reference was completely different from what people are giving out to people in our society today. Now, does that make me a person that is worthy of the guillotine? I mean, I'm just going to ask flat out. Am I no more good for this new age society that we're living in? I was talking with a friend of mine, and every time I have elongated conversations with him, he gets very quiet, and he says, John, you have to learn how to think the way they think and do things the way they do it. It's their turn. You're just old. You're worn out. Nobody wants to hear from you anymore. That's why I continue to do these webcasts. Because if any of you knew me 10 years ago, I'm the same Negro. If you knew me 20 years ago, I'm a damn sure the same nigger. If you knew me 30, 40, and 50 years ago, I'm the same cat, and I use that term as a term of endearment. I'm that same cat that knows what the Hades he's talking about. So shut the hell up trying to tell me that a millennial can teach me anything. The only thing that they can teach me is how to ride a skateboard and how to make a drone fly and how to program my phone. Thank you, millennial. I need that kind of brain power. I don't have the patience for such. Quiet is kept. I don't want it. I'm too concerned about the poor Afghans over there being blown up to bits and pieces by a political group that should have been given the reins of leadership in the country in the first place. It looks like the regular Afghan government with the army and all the rest of them taking off the uniform, changing their dress, moving, running, going across the border. And that brings me to subject matter. I went to a gay man's meeting yesterday. And a young man, I have to say it, I got there early enough to get one of the free copies of his book, All Boys Aren't Blue, a memoir manifesto, he calls it, George M. Johnson. I started to read the book while I was at the book signing and the celebration and the awards given to him. And I must say that I was impressed by his candidness, but also unimpressed by his naivete because of the theme of the book. And he hit on that early as he was. And I'm going to read the book because a friend of mine, another friend, says that he's heard him speak on three different occasions, and he's very bright and articulate. But what he proposed in that book signing to me yesterday will never come off in this country. I know it. When I got him to sign my book, and what did he put here? Because he says, to John, thank you for your prayers and your praying. I think, yes, thank you for your prayers. And I forget the other word. I can't read it. But he signed it. All Boys Aren't Blue. It's a real published book. And does it have an ISBN number? Yeah, it should have it. Should have it somewhere around here. But I don't think it recommended reading straight across the board because of, number one, it's too darn graphic, and number two, it presents too many premises that hasn't reached a conclusion. But that's of another time. Man, the Afghan failure, people suffering. Families, children dying, no food, no electricity. The infrastructure's all gone. Think of Los Angeles like that one day. No, don't think of it. That would be a nightmare. Be going from room to room trying to turn on some light and ain't got no power? What I better get is give me one of these solar things and try to save some electricity so I can at least listen to a radio to find out what's happening. Man, human suffering. Is God still there? And look what they're doing to us about the shot. Schools are beginning this week. Did you get your poke yet? I got mine. They said, well, if I get the variant, it won't kill me, but I get sick. Okay. Well, I didn't know whether the shots were going to protect me from getting COVID. I guess it doesn't. But now the big fight to get everybody shot. You know what? Everybody's screaming about their children. This is how much America has changed. When the chickenpox shot came out, I was in grade school. And they sent a slip home with every kid that went to 75th Street School. I remember it. I went to 75th Street School in Los Angeles, grade school. And I was in the third or fourth grade. And my teacher gave me a shot slip. She made us put our name in it and our age. And we were supposed to go home and to get one or both of our parents to sign this card. And so that when the shot day came on Friday of that school week, and they gave us that on Monday and Tuesday, they gave us the slips. We had to bring that thing back. And I remember asking my mother what that was for. And she says, John Jr., they're going to vaccinate all of you children in the school to keep you from catching the plague of chickenpox or the measles that comes in big cities. And my mommy explained to me, you live in a city, people are close, dirt, stuff, germs, and so they're going to give that's to help you. I said, well, how are they going to get this serum in me? She said, they're going to put a needle in your arm. Oh, my God. I've been playing with my mother's needles and stuck my finger before. Ouch! And when I think about that and saw the size of that needle on the little slip, if those of you as old as I am and remember those little slips, they had a picture of a white nurse dressed in a white nurse uniform holding this big old shot needle and this little white boy next to her crying. And so that sent a message to me automatically that in order to get this serum down in me. Now, you should have seen me when I had my COVID shots. I flinched in the same way I did when that man came to that school and had all us kids lined up. We standing in line, but we had to have that slip in our hand to give the doctor and the school staff that our parents had signed. What's wrong with parents today? What's wrong with them? Why won't they sign that to keep their children safe? Why are the governors and the mayors of the cities and the school board representatives fighting with each other? What kind of an America is this? What happened to us? Have we lost our minds? That's what you have leaders for. Ah, wait a minute. I should have put this on the list. No, let me finish that. I'll just write his name down. Then we'll talk about the good governor in a little bit. But what are your feelings on the shot? I'm going to tell you, I believe that if I did not have the shot, as much as I love people, as a matter of fact, I'm expecting two people to come by and visit me tomorrow. And the windows are going to be open, Lord willing. The door's going to be open. Air's going to be blowing through. We will probably be sitting in the patio. Curtains are going to be blowing. But they're coming by. They're going to spend a couple of hours. And then on the next day, I got somebody else coming by. I'm a people person. But I'm cautious. Why aren't we following the government mandate? Now, I know we're free. But people are dying talking about people are dying. How about Governor Cuomo, huh? What's he tripping? What is this? And some other woman came out and said that the Prince of England molested her when she was 17. Well, see, it isn't a question about what I believe. I know that people with money would do any, they think they can do any damn thing they want to do because they got money. That's been proven. But you have to watch out when you have all that money and that freedom to do those kinds of things because it'll come back at you. This would do nothing but bring embarrassment to the good prince or whatever you want to call himself, dealing with that man that is dead and the stuff that he was doing with those people. Now, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about moral. That's my dog. He just can't stand anybody, any cats, dogs, or anything. And it's at night now, and he's just having a conniving fit. But, you know, there is a moral responsibility that each of us has. And it's like having sex. It's all right for you to have sex with whoever you want to if you grown and the legal age and ain't nobody coercing nobody. You can make love to whomever you want to make love to. Long as it's not a minor and you are not offending anyone and working against him. I like that kind of freedom. There's nothing sinful about it. I don't know what's the matter with people. There's a great movie. Oh, man, I just saw that movie on Netflix today. One of the finest movies that I've seen on Netflix in a long time. And it was talking about how that Christian group years ago was trying to tell people that they could change their gayness, that they can be delivered from being a gay. No, you can't. You can't be delivered from that. As a matter of fact, you don't want to be delivered from who you are. This is what I don't understand about people. Everybody is different from everybody. Now, we usually travel in food groups and we choose in this society that we live in the kind of lives that we want to live. And after we make that choice, we render that choice active by living it. Now, who's to tell me that, you know, because I used to didn't believe in same-sex marriage. But now since I've educated myself more and more and more and looking at the other kind of marriage, not mine, because mine was beautiful. Lucy and I never fussed, never cussed, never fought. And let me tell you something. I have been in people's houses and seen husbands and wives in front of their children cuss each other out. Church folk read the Bible. I don't think they ever knew what they was reading. Man, stabbing each other, man. I'm just telling you. When you look at me preaching a sermon on my website, whenever I put a sermon up like I put that sermon in the book of Acts up, I was trying to talk to them people, don't start acting up in this church and mess this up. That's just what they did. Acted up. I remember the Sunday I unclipped the keys off my key ring and gave it to the deacon and said, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll meet you here to pick up my stuff in the office. I'm out. That's what, yeah. I said, I'm out of here, man. I'm not going to stick around here. This is, what is this, a joke or something? People listen to me. A lot of the suffering that some people are doing is brought on them by themselves. Now, when God created us, and I believe he did, each one of us have a brain in our head. No, I'm not going to quote a scripture to you. You don't need me to do that. If you want to hear some scripture, open up that Bible that you have, your family Bible there. I got about 10 of them in the house. So I can read the Bible whenever I want to. I'm not going to quote a verse to you because, see, that was a mistake of pastoring. You're quoting all these verses to these people, and these people did not have a heart conditioned to desire to follow God. I couldn't believe what some of these people, when I would visit their homes as a pastor. I couldn't believe it. I remember once I recall my pastor speaking about another man in the church that wasn't in the office at the time. And he said, I got to tell that boy to stop giving that girl them babies. She ain't had enough babies now. She ain't had enough. I found that extraordinary that one man would make that kind of ruling in another man's life. I didn't say anything to JB. I just looked at him. Oh, see, I'm 77. I can talk about it. I think JB wasn't quite my age when he said that. And I was in my 40s or something like that. And I said, why in the hell would he say this about this man? It's none of his business how many children they have. See, my God. A lot of young people would join the church and they would say, Pastor, I understand. You know everything. I said, no, I only know what I know. I know what I don't know. I leave that alone. Someone asked me, he said, well, did you ever preach against homosexuality? No. What scripture would I use to preach against homosexuality? Somebody would go into it and say, where Paul was writing to the Corinthians and he was talking about everything they used to be, and they're no longer that because they've been washed. And one of those things that he said, you are homosexual, but you are no longer homosexual. How's that? Can you ever, if you're not a homosexual, if you're a heterosexual, could you ever become a homosexual? The answer is no. No. Now, if you're bisexual, you can play with that. Okay? Usually, around the fire log, when I speak with brothers when they come by, I ask them a very unique question. Are you homosexual or are you just gay? Because if you just gay and not a homosexual, see, a homosexual can define why he is such and such. I was telling a recent friend of mine that I recently, just a number of years ago, came out, you know, made it public that I was a gay man. And I tell people that because I tell them, I was living incognito. No. Now, they tried to raise some gay scandals on me in the church, but it didn't work because I didn't fool with nobody in the church. I didn't fool with nobody outside of the church. But the church people are crazy. I remember I was pastoring and I was doing some radio, and there was a white pastor who was pastoring a pretty good-sized church in the valley. And I forget his name now and his denomination, and I'm kind of glad because I don't want to mention him by name, but I will mention the incident. It goes right along with this conversation right now. The way the story went is that he worked late at his office on Friday, and what he did is he had a prostitute meet him at his car at the church office, and he went to a motel with the prostitute, and he came back to the church to finish up his work. And that next Saturday morning, he belonged to a denomination, a huge denomination, money. And some of the denominational leaders, you know, the bishops, met him and asked him where he was last night. And he told him at the church. And he said, "Is this not you with this person?" They had taken pictures of the guy, followed him. Oh, man, and man resigned in shame. And I remember because I was an LAPD chaplain, and I was working with a white policeman, I forget his name too, that was a Christian, and it was his church. And he said that the board said that they're going to do the best they can to make sure that the next man they get in that position is a man. And I thought, and I laughed to myself, you don't know what these people are. These people got secrets, and then all this, excuse me, I never taught against homosexuality in the church because I couldn't get beyond my feelings for men. Where are they going? They haven't gone anywhere. Albeit never did anything with them. But I had those deep feelings. And some of the men knew it because they've told me after the fact. Because, you see, the longer you live, you can open up about things. You can talk about them. You know. And I didn't go around groping no men and touching. Man, that's stupid. Get my teeth knocked out, man. What's the matter with you? I mean, gay people aren't complete idiots. When you see us acting a fool in the streets and looking like that, that's the kind that's never been taught how to keep moral absolutes at the forefront. Out there shaking your booty like a rooster, to me, is not indicative of having very much sense. Have some class in you. Well, you know what I mean. Now, that language may be offensive to some of you, knowing that I'm a pastor. What do you think a pastor is? A robot or something? He's a man like you. Now she's a woman like you. Well, you know, I had to change on that too, because I'm telling you, they have, I bet you they got, if not equal, maybe more women pastors than men in the inner city churches. Because ain't no man going to follow this. No. Uh-uh. Our world is suffering. What can we do about it? All right. Climate change. Walk to the store. Don't drive. Oh, there you go, John. That's not going to help. Yeah, if everybody had been doing that 20 years ago, we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in right now. So you are a part of the climate change. Okay. How about the heat waves? What can we do about that? Nothing. You folk that live in the forest, live all around those beautiful trees and everything. Like, I remember about 5-6 years ago, city of L.A. came down the street, chopped down every shade tree on the block. And one of my play sons that was with me at that time asked me, PJ, why are they doing that? They're making the place blithe and look like a desert. And I told him, because the trees are on the parkway, and when the trees get old and the wind blows, the trees fall down, and if it falls on a car or a person, the city can be liable, and the parkway belongs to the city, and since the tree is on the parkway, the city has a right. Yeah, but it's making us look... Yeah, it contributed to global warming. Everything that we do against nature, cognitively, that we do against nature, we are bringing it in. That's why you have to look at what are you voting about? Oh, forget about voting for these. I hear they're trying to impeach Gavin Newsom. He's the governor of my state. He walks around in the fire thinks, oh, it's like a powder keg. Oh, people are losing their home. Gavin ain't worried about that. Gavin getting that paycheck every month. I don't know what you're talking about. The governor's mansion. Gone, boy. Woo. Have you seen Seattle lately? Oh, my goodness. And Oregon. I thought Oregon was always this little peaceful state. The nicest people, they're just growing acorns, chasing squirrels. And I used to think about that when I was married and had the girls. We wanted to drive up through Oregon to just look at the people smile as the leaves were green and everything. That place looks like a garbage dump. I have one friend on Facebook. He tickles me, but I love the boy. He told me once where he got his money from, and he got a wad of it. And he be spending it, too. I tell him to be cautious about that, because when you bragging on how much money you got and all you got and you Gucci and all that kind of stuff, people would just shoot you. Because, you know, people crazy like that now. I remember a young man got angry at me and he said, oh, you just think you something because you got that good job as a professor and that house. I said, man, let me tell you something. I've been in this. I said, how old are you? I think the young man said, 20 years old. I said, 20. Okay. I know where I was 20 years ago. I was right here in this house. How old is your parents? And he told me, okay. When your parents was, your parents about my kid's age. Yeah, I was in this house. How old is your grandparents? And he said, what you doing? I said, I'm trying to let you know, son, that I've been in this house. See, most people buy 2 and 3 houses in America. They don't move in no one house and stay there. When Lucy and I moved in this house, I said, get used to it. We here and we're going to die here. And I've never been wrong. What is marriage today? Is it a business deal? Why do I believe in same-sex marriage now? Because if you can get with any human being that loves you enough to say, I want to put up with your mess through sickness and health, I want to hear your voice every time I wake up, I want to look in your face, I want to be there with you when you die, and want you to be next to me when I be leaving here. And I love you, girl, or boy, or whatever you want to call yourself. If you're a human, I love you. Oh, you a tranny? You a man, but you want to be? I love you because I love people like that. See, everybody the way they is have to have somebody to love them the way they are. Now, this lie that they told you that God said that he don't like people like that, where did he say that? Where did he say that? God ain't never said nothing like that. Why would he create something that he didn't like? Oh, wait a minute. Some of you talking about Satan. Who? Satan who? Have you read the story of Satan? The Bible says, and remember now, I'm a theologue. Don't play with me. I know my book. He said that Satan was the greatest of all the angels that God ever created, right? Lucifer. Okay, some people call him Beelzebub and everything. Man, they got all these names for him, and he got millions of little imps. And one preacher even told me once, he was talking to me, and I was, you know, he had the audacity to try to argue with me. And I told him, I said, James, don't do that. Don't do that. I said, you can argue with a certain breed of black men, these other preachers, because they come out of a howling background. I never hooped and hollered and howled. I've done nothing but think. I'm thinking when you're sleeping. A recent friend of mine, oh, I love these little talks with you guys. I really do. Recent friend of mine was telling me, John, you think too highly of yourself. I said, no, I don't. I think as high as God let me think. That's me thinking in my freedom. See, some missionary or somebody told you to wait a minute, you're trying to move too fast. Man, I've read where people that came from our bloodline created nations. And you know what? I'm telling you, here I am, 77 years old. My brother said, Junie, I'm 75 and I'm crippling around here. I said, Ross, I know what you're talking about, boy. I get up sometime and it takes me about 2 hours before I can stand up for 20 minutes straight in a row. That's right. I got to fight. But there's one thing that I don't do. I will not succumb. I will not succumb when I see all these problems and troubles come. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the work shift, at the end of it all, my God's going to work it out. Now, I'm a black man. I mean... I love Buddha. Buddha have a lot of good things. I taught world religions. I pick up good from everything. I got a flag with all the religious symbols on it. I'm going to put it up in my backyard when I get my little patio fixed up the way I really want it fixed up. And I'm going to have that flag blowing back there. And one of our men going to say, man, you got my religion on there. Taoism. And I'd love for him to share what his religion teaches to us other black men that gather around this log fire. See, John Coleman is alive. John Coleman had a history that many of you would, maybe, because I know some young pastors now, but they're not pastors the way we were, because I was trained under the white seminary type of theological institution. I like that order there. And I could not go to a liberal school because when a liberal person presents a premise that's false, and me being Aquarian and all, I'd tear into that and tear him up in the process. That's why I didn't speak at the book signing. All boys aren't blue. Because the boy's a young man and he's just getting started. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to tear into him. I just hope that he has enough guts to think about what he says and to know that everybody doesn't think that way. And that's one of the problems, I can speak freely, one of the problems with gay men. They think that because they're gay and rather serious about their gayness, and I'm talking about black gay men and Hispanics too, they're the same way. The whites have learned how to chill a little bit because they know that it's going to take time for society to accept everyone as equals. That's why I joined the organization, In the Meantime Men, because I like that idea. We all equal. God knew what he was doing when he made all of us, and it ain't nothing wrong with us. Ashe, brother, ashe. My religion, Christianity, that I was deep-dyed in, taught me a completely different venue. Now, was I faithful to the religion? Yes, I just never taught against me being different like that. Nobody's business. I did tell a couple of people in the church that I was fond of, and I said, you know, I'm like that. Guess what the man said? I know that. That don't mean I'm not supposed to like you. See? That's where it comes across. Some people you can't say it to because they've been listening to somebody else, some other voice, and they just can't deal with reality. They can't deal with... Some of us had daddies that are gay, and you knew it. Your grandpa was, your auntie, your cousin. Man, I think it's a shame to think of a gay man killing himself because his family disowned him. Come over here, boy. Not going to disown you. I remember once this young man, he lived way out, way out. And he'd have me to drive all the way to Moreno Valley. Man, that's a long way out of L.A. I said, why you want me out there? Come and get me, come and get me. I said, you at home with your family, aren't you? They don't understand me. No, tell them. They're not going to understand you. Tell them. And man, I had to drive all the way out there. Pick him up. He had a little backpack. He came, crashed at my house. His people was looking at me all strange. I said, he gonna be all right. I'm a pastor. This ain't what you think it is, all right? Chill. You know, women always want to think the worst and everything. And I spoke with the young man. And I said, you got people that love you and are concerned about you. You know what he told me? If they love me, they leave me the hell alone. I'm over 21. I can think on my own. Yeah. See, they can say that in these days. When I was 21, I couldn't say it like that. I had to keep all that hidden. So I understand these young gay men writing books like this, All Boys Ain't Blue. All of us had our unique experiences. And I think that if we choose the right path, and I'm not talking about no religion, I'm not talking about that, because I never was a religionist. I couldn't stand those people because all they did was just keep quoting all these laws and everything. I wonder what you think about this scripture. You remember Jonathan and David, right? And the writer's writing in the Bible, and he said that the love that Jonathan and David had for each other was much stronger than that of a love of a woman. Now, you can put whatever you want that to mean on there. That is the kind of love that I have with men. It's much stronger than the kind of love that I have for a woman. Now, let me explain that to you. All right? When I'm with a woman, I get with her, and I love her because what is it that I'm trying to produce? I'm trying to produce offspring, children. And that love is very special. Now, a man can't give me that. But if a man loves another man, and all the other ways that he loves a woman, but beyond that, and then the Bible says that these men had love that far exceeded the way a man loves a woman. You can take that scripture to mean where you can go to some of these straight-laced seminarians or whatever you want to call them. And I'm talking about, I've had some deep, loving friendships with men. I do not understand when people cannot speak freely their hearts. And we live in the freest country in the world. But because of our inability to accept ourselves for who we are, we become impotent, weak, hiding. And I'm telling you, I get stronger as I reveal more and more of myself to you. That's been listening to me, some of you, since this website was created in the year 2002. And I want you to know this. Ask yourself this question. Why is John Coleman sounding just as vigorous, just as authentic as he did? Because he has learned how to live his truth in reality. And you will sound just like me, with total confidence in every area of your life. And who is the divine entity that has given you the power to do that? God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jah, Elohim. He is the one that has given it. And I implore you to respect his presence and his name, and he will give you a life just as powerful as the one that I'm living today. Thank you for coming to my website, and thank you for being my friend.